Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific Technology 2018 third quarter results announcement investor conference call. Before we proceed, I would like to note that during this conference call, there may be certain forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements may involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks, which could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the IR presentation related to our Q3 results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. W.K. Lee, CEO of ASM Pacific Technology, and Mr. Robin Ng, CFO of ASM Pacific Technology. We will start with a brief discussion about our 2018 third quarter results, followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand this over to Mr. W.K. Lee. Mr. Lee, please.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you are joining us for our 2018 third quarter investor conference call. I will first provide you with a summary of our third quarter results, followed by the Q&A section. We are very pleased to report that the group has continued to deliver a solid performance, driven largely by the SMT Solutions and the Back-end Equipment segments in the third quarter and for the first nine months this year. At the group level, both billing and bookings saw year-on-year growth, while the quarter-on-quarter decline were in line with expectation. Group booking in the third quarter was better than anticipated, led by the SMT Solutions segment, which has achieved yet another new record, topping the record set in Q2. The Back-end Equipment segment also saw higher than expected booking and achieved a year-on-year growth of 5.8%. The continued success of the group in winning market share is well reflected in the strong bookings of these two segments. The IC and discrete market contributed strongly to the booking growth of the Back-end Equipment segment in the third quarter. Booking of the IC and discrete market showed a strong year-on-year growth of 24%. Booking of the IC discrete market for the nine-month period already exceeded the full year booking in 2017. Booking of the material segment contracted compared with the same period last year and the preceding three months, mainly due to customers started to adjust different inventories in accordance to sentiments of market conditions. However, the material segment did achieve a new billing record in the third quarter, which indicated that customers' production activities retained their momentum. Group revenue for the third quarter this year was $658.3 million, representing a growth of 1.1% year-on-year, but a small decline of 2% as compared with the preceding quarter. Group booking for the third quarter amounted to $618.6 million, representing a year-on-year growth of 7.7% and a quarter-on-quarter decline of 15% due to seasonality. Both group revenue and booking attained new records for the first nine months this year. Group revenue was $1.89 billion, and booking was $2.1 billion, representing year-on-year growth of 11.2% and 13.9% respectively. Backlog as at end of the quarter was $769.8 million, an increase of 33.1% from the same period last year. Profit after tax of the group amounted to 780.6 million Hong Kong dollars and 2.62 billion Hong Kong dollars for the third quarter and the first nine months of this year respectively, representing a year-on-year reduction of 26.5%, but improvement of 2.8% excluding the non-cash gain of 202.1 million Hong Kong dollars arising from the adjustment of liability component of convertible bonds last year. Group gross margin was 37.8% for the third quarter and 39.7% for the nine-month period this year, representing year-on-year reductions of 283 and 88 basis points respectively. The reduction in gross margin was mainly due to product mix and underutilization of factory capacity. The trade friction between the USA and China had insignificant direct impact on the group's third quarter results. The direct impact of a tariff raised by the US government on Chinese products is estimated to be less than 0.5% of group billing. However, as the tension continues to develop, it's difficult to ascertain its indirect impact to the group. For the short term, the trade dispute is casting uncertainties in the market. But for the mid to longer term, the group remains confident and optimistic of the prospects of the semiconductor industry. Nevertheless, the group does feel that the ongoing development of the trade friction has caused customers to become more cautious. So far, there have been delays in taking delivery of orders by a very small number of customers in China and a few putting new investment on hold. On the other hand, this has been compensated in part by increased orders from customers in Southeast Asian countries who have experienced increases in loading. At the same time, for those customers in China who are focused on serving domestic demand, they continue to expand their capacity. By geographical distribution, China, Europe, Malaysia, the Americas, and Thailand were the top five markets for the group in the third quarter. Now, let me discuss in more detail each of the three business segments' performance. Back-end equipment segment continued to do well in the third quarter. It achieved a year-on-year growth of 5.4% and 5.8% for billing and booking, respectively. Despite the quarter-on-quarter decline, billing of the segment in this quarter is a new record for the third quarter of any year. Billing of the segment for the 9 months of the year attained a new record of $947.9 million, representing a year-on-year growth of 11.4%. With the strong performance over the past three quarters, the back-end equipment segment is expected to set new record in the full-year billing in 2018. Billing of the material segment in the third quarter achieved a new record of $76.9 million, representing growth of 4.1% and 1.0% over the same period last year and against the second quarter this year, respectively. Billing of the 9 month period was also a new record at $227.9 million, representing a year-on-year growth of 9.2%. With the strong performance over the past three quarters, the material segment is expected to set new record in full-year billing this year. The SMT Solutions segment continued excellent performance in the third quarter, achieving yet another new quarterly booking record. Billing of the segment in the third quarter amounted to $278.8 million, representing a growth of 19.8% as compared with the second quarter, and a small decline of 3.9% as compared with the same period last year, respectively. Last year's third quarter billing was an exceptional record for the segment. For the first 9 month period, billing of the SMT Solutions segment achieved a new record of $709.8 million, representing a year-on-year growth of 11.6%. New booking for the segment grew 17.1% year-on-year and 1.6% quarter-on-quarter, respectively, during the third quarter to $300.8 million, setting a new quarterly record. New order booking for the 9 month period was a new record at $870.8 million, representing a year-on-year growth of 22.3%. With a strong performance over the past three quarters, the SMT Solutions segment is expected to set new records in the full-year booking, billing, and segment results in 2018. Billing of the SMT Solutions segment is expected to be close to, if not exceeding, the $1 billion mark. As evident from the results so far, the group is on track to set new booking and billing records for the full year of 2018. All three business segments are expected to set new billing records. For the fourth quarter of this year, we anticipate group billing will be in the range of $550 to $620 million, and booking to experience a double-digit percentage decline from the level in the third quarter this year. The SMT Solutions segment is expected to achieve both quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year growth in its fourth quarter billing, while billing of the back-end equipment and the material segments are anticipated to experience sequential declines. The trade friction between the USA and China has caused much uncertainty in the global economy and the semiconductor industry, with customers becoming more cautious. The group is closely monitoring the situation and continuously assessing any potential impact. With the investments that the group has been making over the past few years and its breadth and depth in enabling technologies and financial strength, the group is in an unparalleled position to face the challenges. ASMPT has now entered a new high growth period. We are confident that the group will continue soaring to new heights. With this, we thank you for your attention, and we are ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now poll for a question. If you would like to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any questions, please press star 1. Thank you. Okay, our first question comes from Donnie Tan from Nomura. Thank you.
Good morning, CEO and CFO and Lena. My first question is regarding to do you have any preliminary booking outlook into first quarter next year? I know there are lots of uncertainties, particularly due to a trade war. But if there is any outlook for the booking at the current time point in the first quarter next year?
Well, I would say this is a very difficult question. As you can imagine, we believe the trade friction between USA and China really casts a big uncertainty in the market. Entering into the third quarter, we did see customer change to become much more cautious. So at this point in time, I will say nobody able to give us a very clear forecast in this activities in Q1. However, on the other hand, when we talk to all the customers, everybody indicate that the direct impact on them due to the trade war actually is not obvious. You know, I think today everybody's problem is everybody taking a wait and see attitude. So how long this wait and see attitude will continue, and will this wait and see attitude will turn into a different causing the market enter into a totally different phase. It's difficult to assess at this point in time. On the other hand, in our opinion, the positive sign is that entering Q1, there will be a new round of capex budget available for our customers to spend. And as of this point in time, no customer indicate to us they will significantly cut back their CapEx budget next year. So with this, I will be taking a more cautious, optimistic attitude towards the beginning of next year. Probably it may be starting a little bit slower than 2018, but overall, we don't expect at this point in time a major correction in terms of CapEx spending but from our customer next year. So I think that's how we look at 2019 and Q1 at this point in time.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Bill Liu from UBS. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. I want to ask for some details on your 4Q guidance. I did the math very quickly, so I don't know if this is totally right. But if I assume that SMT is still going to be up, I think that looks like back-end revenues might be down about 20-25% quarter-on-quarter. I wonder if you can help me verify that. And secondly, if that is indeed right, we haven't seen a run rate in a while. Can you help me with where gross margin would be at that run rate? And then lastly, maybe just some color on what part of back-end is coming down so drastically. Thank you.
Well, I think for this back-end equipment, definitely, I would say at this point in time, we are forecasting a contraction, you know, or a decline in billing compared to this third quarter. Whether the reduction will be more than 20%, I would say probably I can't be very certain. At this point in time, we are a little bit more, I would say, optimistic than this. But however, as the this quarter continues to develop, and all those news regarding the trade war continue to come out, how our customer going to adjust their plan, you know, this is really difficult to predict. So I would say, if everything goes normal, we are expecting the reduction of bad equipment billing probably better than what you have just highlighted. However, a big uncertainty over there. Now, with a smaller a contribution from the band equipment revenue, will that affect our gross margin? Certainly, it has some effect on that because so far, band equipment business still enjoy a higher gross margin than the other business. So, however, with all these big uncertainties ahead, it's a little difficult for us to really make all this forecasting with, I would say, a good level of certainty at this point in time.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kainan Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Good morning, management. Thanks for taking my questions. I would like to ask more about the gross margin. I would like to ask for your elaborations on which part is actually under utilizations and in the third quarter, and this may continue in the fourth quarter or not. And wanted to, and second question is wanted to have a better feeling on the 2019 outlook, like which drivers will continue, because firstly you mentioned several new drivers, including like memory, advanced packaging, and also like multi-cam cycle, et cetera. Wanted to have an update outlook on it. And I want to have a follow-up on Bill's questions. Is the third quarter, like billing in the back end is actually decline, actually from your previous expectation, like more decline, QQ versus now it's like more magnitude. So what kind of like business is actually drive the decline that the quarter back-end business then?
Okay, well maybe I respond to your follow-up question on Bill's question on what are which business drop drag the decline for the back-end equipment. As we have reported, we see a very strong booking from this IC discrete business. So the IC discrete market has been strong. We see some weaknesses, in particular for the LED market, going into the second half of the year. It probably related to customer has expanded aggressively, and they we assess or take a re-looking at their investment expansion plan. For the CIS market, we see a mixed effect over there. Certainly, customer become more cautious with the overall economic situation. But however, we also see their customers, they continue to invest in preparing the new generation of phones. We are aware many customers, many phone makers still, you know, putting their a lot of innovation, you know, on the cameras of their new generation phones. So this is still the area we are seeing is a mix of momentum. Overall, if we look back at the three quarters of this year, I said this has been very strong. CIS not too bad. At the strong, the major weakness is really coming from the LED market. Now, for your question on the gross margin, which part of the factory have been underutilized is mainly related to the back-end equipment area. Our factory utilization for the SMD has been quite good. As you can imagine, booking continue to set a new record in Q3. So the challenge is really on the back-end equipment segment. It partly because of in response to the trade war and also the wait and see attitude of our customer, we also adjust ourselves. You know, we make sure we manage, you know, our inventory going forward in a way, in a level we feel very comfortable. So this is some of this effect over there. And partly, all this gross margin also, when the factory utilization low, when some of those production, you know, will go into the inventory. So it also have certain effect, you know, on the gross margin due to all these accounting treatments over there. So we expect, you know, over a longer period of time, the gross margin will become a bit more normal rather than such a drastic deterioration in Q3. In terms of driver for 2019, we see the group continue to make very good progress in advanced packaging. Together with those new acquisitions we have made, including the ASM Lex acquisition just completed in October this year. We are seeing good momentum in this area. We have many design wins with different customers, and we continue to do a lot of the new evaluation for different customers for their new applications in advanced packaging. So we are very confident the advanced packaging revenue will continue to grow. So we will be most likely by releasing our Q4 results, we will share with you a lot more details on our progress on this advanced packaging. So this will be one of the major growth drivers. We continue to be optimistic about our CIS business. As I mentioned earlier, while this year customers are a bit cautious, you know, careful about their further expansion plan, but actually overall the momentum of the CIS business are not bad. On the other hand, there's still so many new projects we have with the customers on their new generation of camera units. So this also put the group in a very good position, and we expect these innovations from our customers will drive for a new round of equipment requirement. Okay, even together with the tariff-free 3D sensing applications. So we believe this is continue to be the case. Automotive is another important driver. While we noticed their reports talking about the automotive shipment has probably slowing down, but we, from our perspective, we don't really feel that. We try to explain the situation is that the semiconductor content in the automotive automobiles has increased significantly, and with all this new design in, when the new car go into production, we expect all this semiconductor content will continue to increase. When we follow our customers' announcement, we see a similar pattern of announcement from our customers. So people are really citing this automotive as one of the important driver. Now, so far in the 9 months of this year, we also see another important driver for the business is this power management. We see this has been a very a strong growth area, and we expect this will extend into 2019. So when it comes to this area, it's really not only a capacity related, and we see many customers have their new design into new applications, you know. So and so far for 2018, industrial electronics is also a very important driver for us. So I think we believe all this will continue to push our business into 2019 and beyond.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sean Lewis from Haitong.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of quick ones. Firstly, just if you wouldn't mind a little bit more detail on the segment profit of the back-end equipment business, could you perhaps give a little bit more detail why it was – I'm a little bit surprised at why it's so weak, because on the top line it's all right, but 20% segment profit I think was a bit surprising for me that low. Was there any particular reason or a one-off or anything like that that caused that? And then my second question is related to SMT. You guys have previously stated that SMT cycles typically lag back-end cycles by a couple of quarters, considering we went into a, in my view anyway, down cycle on back-end roughly in Q2. Can we expect a similar sort of situation as you've described previously for SMT, i.e. that we'll be going into a down cycle for that perhaps a couple of quarters after starting back-end? Thank you.
Okay. Well, your first question on the back-end equipment segment profits, as I mentioned earlier, it's mainly due to the cost margin. And then in Q3 also, this acquisition effect, you know, on those OPEX has gone up, and cost margin has come down. So it's a combination of this pull down the segment profit. Other than this, I would say there's nothing really as specific or very structural. We do not book any one of effect over there. There also a certain effect due to this inventory provision we have to make with the slower production activities. So, but other than that, there's nothing really special. However, as I mentioned earlier, we do expect some of those effects will get normalized over a longer period of time. So, we do not expect the cost margin of this segment to continue to stay low for too long a period. For the SMT cycle, the SMT has been consecutively making new booking records for the past three quarters. Certainly, we will not continue to predict it will continue this pattern in the next coming quarters. As the semiconductor back-end equipment start to show some adjustment, we believe sooner or later the SMT cycle will also follow. But however, obviously, during this past three quarters, we believe our success is not only we widening on the way for the industry, but really we are gaining market shares. So this structural area of gaining market share, I think we expect will continue. So while there could be the SMT business will follow this typical cycle pattern, but we continue to believe our SMT will be outperforming the market in general and continue to be at stay at a high level in the next few quarters to come.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alpha Life from Citigroup. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. WK, Robin, and Elena for taking my question. I actually have 10 questions, but I will, you know, just ask three questions. The first question is actually the back-end, like Bill mentioned, the back-end margin actually quite volatile, went up to 50% and down to 44%. I wonder what drove the big change. You probably already highlighted the utilization or like idle capacity, but is any mixed effect? For example, I wonder if that discrete up and then the advanced semi such as the TCB went down to cause this big change. This is the first question. And second question, I think a lot of clients wonder the data centers growth rate slow down or not. And since you are the leader in the data center's packaging machine, can you share with us your view? The third one is a client wonder. Client asked me to ask this question. She wondered why the expense went up in the financial charge, went up to 84 million from the previous cycle is like 7 million. So this is my first three questions, and I will ask follow-up. Thank you.
Okay. For your first question on the back-end margin, I would say the gross margin in Q2, over 50%, a little bit on the high side. Whereas the third quarter gross margin, I would say a little bit below our expectation. So because of this this effect, so that's why it show a big delta over there. You are absolutely right. There's also an effect of product mix, as I highlighted earlier. In Q2, we are still shipping aggressively a lot of equipment for CIS, active alignment machine, whereas in Q3, the proportion of the CIS product, shipment of CIS product has come down. So there are also partly due to this this effect, but they are only one of the factor. Unfortunately, when this product mix effect coupled together with this factory utilization and also the this inventory provision, due to the slower movement of the production activities, all this unfortunately come into effect during the same quarter. So that's why we saw this. However, we carefully analyzed the situation, and we don't see any alarming effect over there. We don't see any structural changes over there. So that's why we are confident that over a longer period of time, some of this effect will be normalized, will be smoothed out. Okay. Whereas your question on the data center, we continue to be optimistic about the data center, and you're probably also aware, some of our customers, they are in the this semiconductor business. They reported the shipment for the demand for PC and data centers has been continued to be strong. So we don't really feel our customers are slowing down their investment in the data center, while people may react to the very short term, market outlook, but people are our customers more of preparing for the longer future. So we see this investment in technology preparation for the new generation, communication requirement for the data center for the 5G actually continues, so we don't see the slowdown over there. Your third question is on the can you repeat your third question?
Yeah, the third question is the client wonder why there's a big the financial charge for example 84.6 million Hong Kong dollars in the quarter three versus last year's only 7 million. I think it's because of the artist financial charge. So it's caused by one-off event or the CB?
No, not really, Arthur. We have made three acquisitions this year. So part of the acquisition is funded by bank loans. So that's going to see financial charge increase year on year.
Okay. So that's one of after this quarter, we will not see this big charge.
The loan will remain for a period of time, but we intend to repay them back as soon as we generate more cash flow.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dean Ruff from Overlook. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'm sorry to ask about these margins, but if I look at if I look at kind of Q3 versus Q3 last year at the back end, I mean, you've got a very similar level of revenue, but obviously the 5 points difference in gross margin. And you said before that's related to capacity utilization and some product mix. But I just wonder, how much capacity have you added, year on year? How much growth do we have? And if there is indeed kind of surplus capacity, what is that for next year's CapEx? Are you considering pulling back some of that CapEx? Thanks.
I think it's not so much how much capacity we have acted over the past few months, as mainly how we prepare for the production of the subsequent few quarter. So as we feel this at this climate, there's a bit more uncertainty, in the market, and we look to our customers are really taking a wait and see attitude. So that's why we are adjusting our production runway. Because of this, we see some capacity underutilization. We see some due to some accounting treatment, we had to make slightly higher provision, for those slow moving materials we have already bought into the factory to prepare for the production. So mainly of some of those effects over there. However, if you look at our 9 month basis, then you can see actually we are fairly stable. Actually, when we're looking at on a 9 month basis, we compare carefully, then we will see even in our production, because of the first two quarter, we are utilizing our production capacity in a very efficient way. So we comparing the 2 9 month period, we don't see any of this underutilization effect at all when we all average out in the 3 quarters. The margin has been pulled down by 0.9%, 1.1% cost margin, mainly due to, as I mentioned about, some of those stock provision, additional amortization due to the acquisition, So more of this kind of effect. So and when it comes to the stock provision, actually we are pretty confident those will be reversed, in the subsequent quarter when those materials are being utilized. So we don't really see anything structural in the cost margin deterioration during the third quarter.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lu Ping Huang from CICC. Thank you.
Okay. I have two questions. One is about the advanced packaging. So can you share some color of view on the competition landscape on the advanced packaging the equipment side? Because what we see in this quarter result, for example, we see TSMC start to record quite a significant revenue from advanced packaging. I was wondering whether when the advanced packaging business take off, it seems to be not OSAT company, but foundry companies start to do a lot on the packaging. So, and it seems, but you have not recognized too much revenue on the advanced packaging equipment sales. So, when the market take off, whether you can maintain current leading market share in this similar to your packaging equipment? Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think the advanced packaging market is really picking up momentum. As you highlighted, it's not only from OSAT. Actually, today I would say the foundries, the IDMs are also participating in this area. Out of our advanced packaging business, TSB continue to leading the overall. So our TCB momentum is good. On one hand, the major customer for us, the TCB, continue to invest. On the other hand, our TCB solution are being adopted by other customers. So going into 2019, we are very confident that our customer base for our thermal compression bonding will be expand, will be enlarged, and hopefully we will be able to also expand into this memory applications as well as fan-out applications for the TCP, you know, not only in the high-end computing, the logic applications. On the other hand, the new acquisition we have made, this the ASM Lex, you know, the, for the ECD and PVD application, is also having a good momentum. Although we only have it for 1 month, but we can really see good technology, good design win. So we expect they will contribute to our advanced packaging business in 2019. You know, there will be limited contribution in 2018 because it's only one quarter, but I think there will be a more significant contribution in 2019. Now, our pick and paste machine for the fan-out applications, panel fan-out as well as this wafer fan-out, also getting very good momentum. This platform has been adopted by many customers into many of their different applications, different new project developments. Although I'm not able to name those customers, but I will say we are almost into most of their projects. So as this customer ramp up their production of the new packages, we expect the production volume of this machine will also increase. And also, another important area is our laser business in Holland. You know, we are also seeing a very good momentum. When it comes to this new generation of advanced packaging, actually the laser grooving, laser dicing also become very important component for us. So we are also seeing this good momentum. In fact, this business we acquired a few years back make a new record in 2017. However, the new record already being surpassed, you know, in this year by now, you know. So we are seeing very good momentum. Another area is also we have the machine, you know, for the wafer level test pack, you know, inspect, you know, application. We are also getting a good momentum. At this time, you know, besides of the normal wafer level fan in and fan out application, we also see customer adopting this solution for their RF applications, the radio frequency, you know, component application. As you know, for the 5G applications, when the 5G application take off, actually there will be a lot more RF related components on the smartphone. So we see customers are aggressively preparing for this the era of the 5G. So we see we have successfully developed a multi-fund product portfolio, so addressing the different area of application in the advanced packaging, and we are making very good progress in all this area. So we expect, as we have expected, 2018, the advanced packaging contribution has increased, and we believe by 2019, it will reach a very interesting level for the group.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Donnie Tang from Nomura. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my question. Again, I just have two questions. First is still regarding to gross margin and OPEX. So, CEO, you just mentioned about that CIS momentum. For sure, it's normally slow in the second half. So, from product mix perspective, what kind of sales breakdown in third quarter to drag down the gross margin? It's like LED is increasing a lot. Or is there any, you know, more low-end product to drag down the gross margin third quarter? And how should we look into the fourth quarter for different business development? And my second question is regarding to SMT. So previously, some senior analysts already asked about SMT momentum normally follow a backend.
Could you update the overall your currently outstanding total debt and then the current status of the convertible bond versus your cash on hand to assess your overall net debt cash position? And then, yes, it will be great if you can highlight some balance sheet item in your, you know, the press release statement next time, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Typically, for Q3 and Q1, we don't publish the balance sheet. That's why you don't see those numbers. But I can give you a very general picture. So in terms of, you mentioned whether we are net cash. Yes, certainly. If we take our cash and also those promissory notes, you know, in China, LCs, this we are all considered near cash, right? Anytime we can actually discount it and get the money in. So if we take all this into consideration, we are still net cash at this point in time. Although our borrowing has gone up because of the acquisition which I mentioned earlier.
Thank you, sir. Our next question, we have Laura Chen from BNP. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. We discussed a lot about the macro uncertainty recently, but do you have any visibility, although it might be difficult at this moment, but at earliest stage, when we'll see better recovery next year? We know that usually we have quite good booking in Q2. If we look at the seasonality in the past few years, so we still see like Q2 next year we'll see better recovery, and which part of the business may see better or sooner recovery then? And also, could you talk a little bit more about your CapEx plan for the next year? Which part will be the major investment for you next year? Thanks.
Okay. Well, I think for the question on, you know, how do we see when we can expect a stronger recovery, whether it will happening in Q2 or not, it's really a very difficult question, you know. Because of the uncertainty brought about by the trade war, you know. Other than that, as I mentioned, when we talk to customer, we really no customer really telling us they are suffering from a strong direct impact of the trade war. So their cause is more of because they want to take a wait and see attitude. You know, so when they think, that's a new normal, we just have to continue, operate, you know, as usual. So once people, either the trade war is or people come to this conclusion, you know, they can't wait and see anymore. They just have to operate under this new uncertainty, you know, environment. Then I would say things will start to move. So hopefully this will not be, it will not take too long. Especially, as I mentioned, the new CapEx cycle will start to kick in 2 months' time, you know. So hopefully that will be the case. Then continuously after the Chinese New Year, you know, things are moving, back to normal. Now, as of this point of time, what we can say for certain is that for those people, they are investing in new capability, like the advanced packaging, there's no sign of slowing down. That one we are very certain about it. We also see, therefore, those customers, they have successfully, won some design wins into the new generation of product, new generation application with the end customer. This group of people continue to push ahead very aggressively. So these are something we can see very clearly at this point in time. Now, for the CapEx, our factory in Malaysia is getting ready, so we will be tooling up this factory. Although on one hand we say we face some capacity underutilization issue in Q3, but we remain optimistic about our long term. So that's why we want to prepare ourselves, you know, for this. Now, one of the major area of expansion will be our capacity expansion for SMT. So with this, you know, the billing for the SMT business this year expect to be around or even crossing over the $1 billion mark. So we believe we need more capacity, and in particular, we want to have more capacity in Asia for this business. So the expansion, part of the reason for the expansion of the Malaysia factory is to free up more space for this expansion of the SMT production in Malaysia. So this will be one of our major areas. The other area will be automation, you know, for our own back-end equipment factory. So we will continue to push ahead, you know, for this automation. Our aim is to have a lights off factory, you know, for most of our back-end equipment assembly factories. So this will be the area we continue to push ahead.
Thank you. We have another following question come from Bill Lu from UBS. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. In your investor presentation on page 25, you've got a really good slide on the interconnects, flip chip growing by 9%, CAGR, fan-out growing by 25%, et cetera, in terms of units. Now, we've been seeing these more advanced packages for a few years now. As you think about the underlying equipment business versus the units, can you comment on whether you think equipment is going to grow faster or slower than units? And then secondly, can you give us some help on advanced packaging as a percentage of your total back-end business right now? Thank you.
At this point of time, it's really difficult to have a very accurate correlation to the question you just mentioned about whether the equipment will go faster or the units or the number of wafers will go faster. At this point of time, we definitely see customers are more, some customers in this high volume production, but some customers are really investing in the new technology. So during this investment, they bought in some equipment. At this point of time, some of this equipment are underutilized not because of demand is not there, it's because of customers still fine-tuning their own process. So some of these customers, this process debugging take a little bit longer time than what we and they have expected. So because of this, it's a little bit difficult to tell. However, we our feeling is that 2019 probably see more customers will be start to go into production. So with this one, then there will be new round of investment in advanced packaging. So that's why we are optimistic about the contribution of advanced packaging to our business will start to grow, you know, next year. As of this point of time, I'm not able to give you the big time you just asked for. We are trying to pull the numbers together and to then maybe we are able to share with you in a few months' time for the full year. We want to make sure when we share the number, it will be an accurate number. You know, at this point of time, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there's still a lot of fluctuation over there because of this nature of the investment cycle. As I mentioned, people are really making investment into the new technology development. So, however, we believe when we pull the numbers for the full year, maybe this will be give you a more realistic and accurate picture. So, please allow us a few more months to share with you these numbers.
Thank you. Another following question comes from Kana Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to confirm about the SMT business next year. I heard you mentioned there will be contraction in 2019. Just wanted to clarify. Another thing is looking into the other business segments. So as you didn't mention some of the business LED, so perhaps next year we'll come back to a contraction from a recovery this year. Am I right?
First of all, the SMT, while we in our planning, we plan for, I would say a come down a bit. However, we are not, internal, we are not budgeting or we are not forecasting a major contraction for SMT. But after a few quarters of such a strong momentum, we do believe from a market perspective, it has to come down a bit. So but not, you know, we are not projecting, you know, a 30% kind of market correction. No, we are not seeing this. We are not seeing this at all, you know. The second question. What is your second question? Can you help me to recall it?
He just canceled his question. Can I move to the next question? We have another following question come from Alpha Life from Citigroup. Thank you.
thank you for taking my follow-up question. So, WK, you mentioned that the advanced packaging, CIS, and also automotive power those become a big driver in the next year. Can you help us to rank which in the impact, you know, perspective, which two or three would be, you know, bigger impact than others? This is my first question. And then second question, I want to ask about the market share. So we have seen your active alignment equipment clients, they are used to be in-house made, and right now they decide to purchase from outside. Do you gain a share in the active alignment market? This is my second question. Thank you.
Okay. Well, certainly for the active alignment, we are getting market share. I think this, as we share in the past, customer typically will move from an internal equipment supply to adopt external solutions. So it does happen so far. So and we also see more and more customers adopt this active alignment solutions. So we do benefit from this one. Okay. Now, regarding your first question of which will be the bigger driver, from a percentage growth point of view, we believe advanced packaging will continue to show the highest growth rate. However, it starts from a smaller base. So I guess from an absolute amount point of view, it will still be between this CIS applications and this IC discrete applications. I think this, from an absolute point of view, or the power management, this will, from an absolute point of view, they are still the larger contributor. But from a growth rate point of view, I think advanced packaging definitely will be the highest growth rate for our band equipment business in 2019.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lu Ping from CICC. Thank you.
Okay. there was one news about one Chinese company may purchase your share from your current largest shareholder. So I think your ASML, I also deny that. But what's your current relationship with your cooperation with your ASMI, and what's the if there's any change on your major shareholder, what's the impact on you? Thank you.
Well, ASMI continue to be our largest shareholder at this point of time. They hold slightly more than 25% of our shares. ASMI do not participate into our detailed day-to-day operation. They are in our board. So, however, on the detailed day-to-day operation is our own decisions. First of all, we do not have any information other than probably similar to you, right from the public announcements, you know, from these two companies, ASMI and the other Chinese company. We do not have any other further information on that. But anyway, as I mentioned, ASMI has been a larger shareholder for us. They don't get involved into our detailed day-to-day operations. So whether if there's a change of shareholding, will that be changed? We don't think so. Of course, we can't know for sure. And actually, we are not aware there will be such a shareholding change in the near future.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sean Lewis from Haitong. Thank you.
Thanks for the follow-up. Easy one for you. CIS and LED, could you please give us your perspective on what's going on in those end markets? Thanks.
Oh, for the CIS, I think you can see there are two factors affecting the market. On one hand is the shipment rate, you know, shipment volume of the smartphone has been slowed down. You know, on the other hand, all the major phone makers are competing with new innovations, you know, centering around the camera. So that is to our favor, you know, because this customer need new equipment solutions to support their innovation. So we are seeing good momentum for us in this area as we are engaging with different customers to support their different innovation in this area. So despite, you know, from the volume shipment of smartphone has slowed down, you know, we continue to expect, you know, our CIS business will continue to be doing very well. For the LED, for the past few years, there has been a lot of consolidation in our customer space. At a point of time, you know, many years back, we have hundreds, you know, if not thousands of customers in the LED application. But today, I would say 80-90% of business will be focusing on maybe 10 over large, you know, LED customers. So the market has consolidated a lot. So with this one, sometimes really the customer, their own pace, their own cycle of investment will have a significant impact on the industry. As I mentioned earlier, when it comes to the second half of this year, we do see the market experience some weaknesses. However, we do not necessarily translate this into, you know, forecasting a weak 2019 market for the LED. If the customer adjust their own investment pace in the second half of 2018, they may complete this adjustment in the early part of 2019. So I think really depends on how the customer will react. So far, as I have shared in the previous conference call, our observation is that the trade war between USA and China has minimal effect on LED because most of these customers in China do not have a major export business into USA, you know, for the LED. So the direct impact for them is minimal. So as a result, I don't link the, you know, their investment pace to the adjustment of the trade war. So we believe the LED demand will continue. It's only customer has to adjust their own investment pace. On the other hand, from a technology point of view, we continue to see many customers engage us, you know, in their mini and micro LED technology development. So that on that part is exciting. However, it has not translated into a major revenue contribution yet. So, but it, from a technology point of view, technology development point of view, is exciting.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sean Roth from Overlook. Thank you.
Hi, thanks again for taking the question. I think you bought back some shares last year connected to the CB and trying to offset any dilution from that. And I'm just wondering if, you know, given the where the share price is now, the kind of the volatility, you know, it looks cheap, arguably low PE and your kind of net cash position, why wouldn't you buy some of your own shares or have a policy to kind of keep going with that? And if so, you know, I would suggest maybe doing a multi-year policy that was kind of clear to the market. But is that something that's been discussed internally? And if so, what are the thoughts with that? Thanks.
Oh, wow. I think the board continuously review all the options available to us. We certainly will not rule out, you know, share buyback. So share buyback, special dividends are, I would say, some of those tools we believe available for the company to create shareholder value. So we continuously reviewing all those options available to us.
So do you currently have a mandate still, and what is that mandate?
We have a mandate approved in the AGM, so we can buy around up to 5% of the shares. This is available to us. So, as I mentioned, the board will constantly review, you know, what should we do.
But the prior buybacks were all connected to the CB. Is that correct?
Yes, that was the previous one. Yeah.
Okay.
That and was already finished, you know, because of the mandate already expired by before the AGM this year.
Okay, I see.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Donnie Tang from Nomura. Thank you.
Sorry, I have a housekeeping question. So the tax rate in third quarter is like 23%, so looks like still a little bit higher. I'm just wondering what kind of tax rate we should look at.
Yes, you're right. The tax rate, if you compare, you know, against last year, is higher. Principally, you know, because of the higher SMT contribution this year, as you heard all the discussion just now, SMT has been doing very well this year. So naturally, because of that, the tax rate are higher than last year. Now, on a full year basis, because of that, we are forecasting that the full year tax rate will be slightly above 20% this year.
And another question is regarding to OPEX. So OPEX ratio is like 21% level. And I remember our target is like around 20%. It's not far away, but I'm wondering, because we acquired two entities like Next and Mcross. So I know Next is expanding some business in China. I'm not sure whether it will have some impact to OPEX in the future. So what kind of OPEX ratio we should look at in the coming quarters? Thank you.
The acquisition will increase our OPEX level a bit, but relatively they are smaller business. The direct actual impact on overall whole group will be not very significant. But however, you're right, with the acquisition, we expect the ratio will go a little bit. But however, this will be part of the synergy we can pursue together to help them to bring down their costs as well as the OPEX level. And also, I think the most important when we help to increase their market share, the top line, we are confident giving the new business some time, you know, their OPEX level will catch up with the overall growth. So we are still pretty confident that we can keep our OPEX level in line.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Simon Wu from Bank of America. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very quick follow-up question regarding your dividend, you know, policy or dividend payout ratio for this year. And then could you recap the overall the dilution impact from the currently outstanding CB? We believe around the low single digit dilution impact from the CB convertible bond. Thank you.
Actually, last year, we already announced we switched to a new dividend policy. You know, going forward, instead of focusing on the payout ratio, actually we are adopting a sustainable and gradually increasing dividend payout policy. So this has been the practicing in for the 2017, and we also will be continue to adopt this, you know, for 2018 and forward. You are
The dilution effect. Yeah, we mentioned that before. If fully converted, we get single digit, maybe about 5-6%. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. There seems to be no further question at this point in time, sir. Thank you. There seems to be no further question at this point in time. Would you like to wrap up, sir?
Yes, I think we've had a very good discussion this morning with very good questions. I think in the interest of time, we'd have to conclude the conference call now. And thank you very much for joining our conference call today, and we'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.